Welcome to Let's Talk. This is Dr. Batts. We're here in the studio with John McQuay, a financial management coach. It's beautiful to have you, John.
Appreciate you having me in, boss man.
Listen, man, we've been waiting for this moment to have this meeting. You're such an interesting person. You're such a passionate person, and you have such a love for your family and community that I want the people to meet you and learn a little bit about you.
I appreciate that.
So we're going to start right at the beginning. Tell us, who is John?
John McQuay, son of their community, child of God. Originally from the Poconos, first generation to the Poconos. My family, as you might know, they kind of moved out. Everybody kind of relocated from Philly. So growing up in the Poconos, single mom household. I mean, throughout time, it's a very similar story. A lot of young black males has got into a lot of trouble. Spent a lot of time, right, most of my 20s, if I'm being honest, most of my life getting into things that I shouldn't have been in.
Okay.
My story is one of putting yourself accountable. That's the space that I'm at.
That gave me chills when you said it, because so many people are terrified of accepting responsibility and being accountable.
That was my biggest problem. As time went on, evaluating my situation, and something I practice is called radical accountability.
That's right.
Right?
That's right.
So that's where you hold yourself radically accountable and you take charge in every way, in every facet. So that's the stage I'm at now.
Okay.
Different chapter. Still building, right? Still learning, still growing.
Now, I think you're a little older than you look, because you look really young.
Yeah, I know. I got the baby face. I'm 34.
Okay. I mean, you look 22.
Yeah.
So 34 means that you've had some experiences.
Correct.
And what was it that turned and made you say, this is about me?
Honestly, legal trouble, right?
Okay.
This is something that you could probably relate to. My last little spat, I won't really get into it. It's too much detail. I was luckily able to get everything expunged. But that was the final stage for me. It's kind of just like hitting that final spot where I realized I have people outside of my circle telling me you could do it.
That's
people
right.
within the circle telling me you could do it. But it just seems like I didn't have it within to really take
so,
it to
so
the next level.
So people saw something in you you didn't see in yourself.
Yeah, yeah. And that's a tough thing I deal with in hindsight, really, is like post that I realized, and this is something you can't do to yourself, but if I would have put the work in that I'm putting in now, what I could have been in, it's tough to look at it that way, it's one of
but
the things
needed
that I
that.
Go over. Yeah, correct.
People don't realize pain makes the man, bro.
Correct.
Like all of those mistakes, like I'm 50, you know what I mean? And similar story, when you talk about that trajectory, you need those errors to really understand and enjoy the ride that's coming, I think.
I agree with you. And I would say probably that's why my journey took so long. Like, I was faking the streets, right? So, like, it was like I wasn't doing enough to make money off of it, right, or to support myself.
Okay.
So I almost think sometimes it's worse when you're in that space, when you're pretending, right, and you're
that's
just,
right.
like, kind of
you didn't
playing with it. Yeah, so
you
it was it wasn't I wasn't hitting a far enough bottom, really, to have to have that need to bounce back. But as time
that's
goes
right.
on, man, you get sick of not being able to make ends meet, right, and take it to the next level. So my mentality now is save your money now and your money will save you later. That's
save
my
your
philosophy.
Money now and your money will save you
your
later.
Your money will save you later.
You've got to go into detail. I don't know that most people are going to understand that when they hear it.
Yeah. So, I mean, I like to focus on what I do professionally. I'm in banking right now. I currently work with a bank. We are a relationship bank, which most banks are kind of getting to that space.
Okay.
They're becoming a lot more retail. Years ago, when you used to go to bank, it was like going to the doctor's office. They would prescribe you with what they wanted you to do, and people would do it. But they've shifted to the retail space, which is great. It kind of works in your favor. So now they're in a spot where they want your money. They want to do things. They want to give promotions.
That's right.
So
that's, right.
that's a great space to be in. And that's where I'm at now is I've been kind of trying to work within that banking space to help people that look like me. I would say the first thing that really came to my attention was when being in banking was I was so excited to work with brothers, right?
Mm-hmm.
Anytime somebody brown came in, I'm in a Mayus. So it's not really
not a
the
lot
darkest
of us.
Area,
yeah,
right?
Right.
So when a brother came in, I would get excited. But as time going on, it became disheartening because I realized 9 out of 10 brothers that came in, there wasn't a whole lot that I could do for them. And
because of their credit, because of their situation, job
correct.
History, documentation.
Yeah, yeah.
Wow.
All the way across the board.
Yeah.
All the things that you would think that would come up
yeah.
in those conversations.
Yeah.
And it was disheartening to me, and it's what kind of got me activated in the space that I'm in now, of putting a hyper-focus on that. And like I said, a big part of it is accountability.
On financial health?
On financial health, financial wealth. Financial
okay.
health and wealth go one and one in the
okay.
same, I think, a lot of times. So, yeah, that's the main focus of what I'm on now.
Okay.
That's my new path.
And what does that look like?
Like
Where does someone start?
I think the first thing is, that I always like to go over is sometimes within our community, I don't think these things are taught. I think I love what you're doing, right? To stop the gun violence.
Mm-hmm.
And that's most of what we spend our time on, right? Like for the most part, especially in the inner cities, if the survival mode.
That's
so
right.
my phase is, right, they go through your mode. they siphon through there. We're in that survival mode. We're realizing to put the guns down, leave the streets alone. But that's then right. What's next? What's next? The aftercare of that?
So that's the work we're doing now. I'm no longer doing that work. I'm doing the next work.
The next work.
We've got a school of construction where we're looking at generational wealth and how do we everything you're talking about, the next phase, right? How do we get people involved in all the economies that are existing out here?
Correct.
That we've been left out of.
And transitioning from moving out of that survival mode.
That's right. That's right.
Surviving is not enough. That's another model.
So thriving's a possibility.
Thriving is a possibility.
And what does it take? Accountability. Radical accountability.
It takes radical accountability.
And then what? So you sit back, you say, my life is where it's at because of the decisions I've been making, the associations I've having, the addictions that I have.
Correct.
And then what do you do with all of that to get to the phase that you want to see people at?
I think the proof's in the pudding. You have to structure it. So a big part of it, what I work with my client is having a structure. It looks a little different to everybody based off your income, based off your situation. But I think a cut and dry one that I really like to go off of is the 60-20-20 model. What that does is it gives you structure. So 60% of your paycheck or 60% of your income, that's going to go directly towards bills. And you're also going to work into any sort of non-necessities into that. So whatever else you have worked in the mix, that's 60% of what you make. 60%. That's what
you're.
Yeah, all right. So then the 20%, then that's what you're going to want to save. You want to put that aside and you want to be strategic with that. And I think that's the part that people struggle with, right, is the 20% part of the saving. And then the next part is even more difficult.
Now, when you say savings, you're talking about stocks, bonds, or you're talking about savings?
Saving, yeah.
Like rainy day, 6 months.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Okay. Rainy day fund. And then that next 20%, then that's where we start to get into the investment part of it.
Okay. Yeah.
And I think people get overwhelmed with that part. But that phase is now in a stage where people should really be taking advantage of. Investing is not like it used to be. It used to be you had to know the game. You had to study.
That's
right.
You
had to look at the stocks. You had to be intuitive enough.
Now Claude and Chad will tell you.
There we go. Thank you. Exactly. AI, right? There's a program that I use that I want to plug here personally. I don't have any affiliation with it, but I love it. It's called Autopilot. That allows you to start with $500, you put that into the Autopilot account, and what Autopilot does is, best part of it is no lose, it follows and tracks the moves of politicians, right? So the trades of politicians.
And it follows them. So what Nancy Pelosi is buying, I'm going to buy.
You're going to buy.
And she sells it, I'm going to sell.
And Nancy is cooking, boy.
Listen, she's always cooking.
Nancy's going to be the reason I can afford my first house.
You see the name I chose, right?
Exactly. Nancy Pelosi,
she's the one.
She's the one.
So you're transitioning us to politics now, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And can I say you have an interesting political view or a different political view?
I think it would be non-conventional.
That's the word.
That would be fair to say.
Thank you. Based on your contemporaries, right? A 34-year-old black male. Mm-hmm. I just saw you. You were just at the White House for some kind of training in D.C.
Yeah. I went to a candidate development program. I'm trying to really follow your coattails, really, if I'm being honest. You set up the playbook. But, my next phase, I've been working with some of the leadership locally, and I've been able to do some things within the community. But I do have political aspirations in myself.
Got the look, bro.
Yeah.
You got the look, you've got the background, but help me understand the choices that you did, philosophically, politically. Mm-hmm. Who are you? What are your beliefs? What's important? What means the world to you is what Cam said, right?
Family.
You're a little young for that Cameron song now. I don't know.
Yeah. speaking of a great podcast.
Yeah, that's what
another note. So a lot of it is derived from my conservative values. And the structure that builds off
of that. A
young black conservative, which is unconventional. And I would say mostly what got me there, besides spiritually and religiously, right, I think a big part of it is the accountability part. I think that a lot of young black men have a mentality, right, and I can say it from what I see on a case-to-case basis, but I think our mentality has been that the game's been rigged.
Mm-hmm. Which is true.
Which is true.
Okay.
Which is true. But then that is a deterrence from participating.
Mm.
And that's the struggle I have. I think a lot of times is when I'm going out and in the community, a lot of times when I'm dealing with older clients, it's a little more difficult when you're in your 50s and you've got $100,000 in debt. Our conversation's a lot different than a young man who still has an opportunity, who the door's still open, right? And
that's
maybe
right.
You might have to navigate it a little differently.
But you can take a shot.
But you can take a shot, right? Yeah. And if you have the right tools and the right structure, it gives you an opportunity.
And the right relationships.
Mm-hmm. Which is another important facet.
Mm-hmm.
So I think we should have, as time goes on, as a community, have allies on both sides. I think that's important.
Okay.
I think that's important, and I think that's pivotal.
Okay.
Yeah, I think that's super important.
On both sides, you're talking about of the aisle, so to speak.
Yeah, from the political spectrum.
Yeah, I would say for me,
mm-hmm.
when it's about wealth management and right, developing generational wealth, I don't think that matters that much.
I agree with you, but I think when it comes to when you integrate politics into that, there's philosophies for each different party has a separate philosophy.
So what does it mean to you? When you say you're conservative, you're a Republican.
Correct.
What does it mean to you to be a Republican? What does that mean?
In current times, I would say conservatism is based off of a multitude of different things. Okay. So I think it starts, one, spiritually, religiously, right?
Also, okay, so financially, you're centered in your religion.
A lot of it. Okay. Yeah, a lot of it. Okay. I would say I kind of got to this point, started off on the other side of the aisle. There was a lot of things that culturally that I thought led to the degradation.
Okay.
And that's multifaceted across the board with hip-hop and celebrities and just all the way across the board. The product that's been served for black people from that particular party, I think, has been stale.
Okay.
And I say that because the proof's in the pudding. I'm a big numbers guy. So a big part of it, me, is just reviewing the numbers and seeing that over time, it seems like we're getting a short end of the stick. And really, if I'm being honest, I feel like we've been replaced in some regards of who gets the focus. That's an opinion based, right? Like, it depends on what angle you look at it. But I think that we've been replaced with the focus of how the resources will be delegated.
So what is it that you want for your people, for yourself, your family, and your people?
I want us to have freedom, true freedom.
Okay.
I think that comes with.
So is that when I talk about the liberation of my people, is that freedom to you?
Correct.
Okay.
But like all things, you have to have the finances to be able to be free.
That's right.
Right.
That's
you can't be.
And the courage.
Yeah. And the courage.
Yeah.
And the courage. There's actually a couple books that I would like to suggest.
Okay.
I want to give people. So there's two books that I read that.
So now you're recruiting. You're on my show recruiting people now.
Got to do it because these I feel strongly about it. Okay. If you put the time in to read the books, man, it'll change your whole philosophy.
Is it Autobiography of Malcolm X? Is that one of them?
It should be.
Oh,
actually, speaking of Malcolm X.
Okay.
I know you're aware of how Malcolm X felt about liberals, right?
Yeah.
And what's your take on that?
On liberal? Well, Malcolm X spoke specifically about white liberals. Is
fair
what
enough.
He talked about. Yeah. I mean, you know, it's part of the poison.
Part of the poison.
I mean, the conditions where we currently find ourselves is partially because of the inactivity and mistakes of folks that consider themselves liberal. They don't do enough. They pacify the people. They handicap the people. I mean, I don't disagree with you on any of those types of points. I mean, that was Malcolm's position, right? Mm-hmm. Like, don't do for me. Don't feed me. I need to be able to fish. I need access.
Yeah. And if I'm being honest, really, I think right now the political climate only allows for two options. But if I was being real, I would say that I'm more of a libertarian, right? I think that less is more. And anytime there's overreach, especially within the black community, I feel like we've always been dealt a bad hand. And what I mean by that is anything that's been given to us always goes sour. So like I think
the
about
the scorpion
like,
always has a tail. That's what we're taught.
The scorpion always has a tail. Now that is
it's always going to come.
That's a bar. Yeah. So
now you have to quote me if you're standing on the White House lawn and you say that when you become president, you have to say Dr. Betts told me once.
Dr. Betts. Listen, that line will definitely stick with me. Yeah. So I think the intervention and us looking for others to come save us when it really should be upon us within our communities. That's a big part of it.
One of my other coined sayings, right? Mm-hmm. And I'm sure I didn't make it up. Mama Bass told it to me, and I'm sure someone told it to her before that. But no one is coming to save us.
No one is coming to save us.
And that's your radical accountability.
And that's the
radical.
That's
for you.
Mm-hmm.
That's for your family. And that's for our community. No one is coming to save us. And if they do, we can't trust them.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to take a quick break. You're here listening to Let's Talk. It's Dr. Hassan Batts. We're here with John McQuay having a great conversation. We'll be back.
WDIY's overnight delivery service is a refreshing mix of vintage and current popular music. You'll hear many of the artists played on The Blend and some from our folk, blues, and world programs. WDIY Overnight is a continuous mix of music popular with night owls and late shift workers. Listen Monday through Saturday night from 1 a.m. to 5 a.m. and Sundays from midnight to 5 a.m. for this great mix of hand-picked music on WDIY.
Welcome back. You're listening to Let's Talk. I'm Dr. Batts. We're here in the studio with my guy, man.
Mm-hmm.
I'm excited to say that you're on another side of the aisle, so to speak, but your heart's in the same place. So human to human, man to man, brother to brother, we want what's best for our family, for our people, and we believe in radical accountability.
Radical.
Here with John McQuay, man. John, finish talking to us. We talked a little politics, you know, and they say race, religion and politics is what we're not supposed to talk about.
Correct.
And that's what this show is all about.
And that's what we should lean into.
So we leaned into a little bit of politics. I want to take the deep dive. You are a Trumper.
Mm-hmm.
talk about. Listen, that's a curse word, man.
It is.
You just say, mm-hmm. That's.
It is, but.
So you're not just conservative. You're not just Republican. You are Trump. Are you Tea Party, too?
I'm Tea Party.
Whoa.
Active member.
Whoa.
Currently.
AK-47.
Like I like to tell people, though, for me is I'm never situated in a spot that won't be long-term beneficial. So, and what I mean by that is in a sense of if the Republican Party, I feel like, got it wrong next election, I'm willing to change. And I think a lot of people need to address that. I think a big part of it is you should never be situated with a political party like you are supporting a sports team. And I think a lot of people get the sports team mentality, right, with political parties.
So you're saying if the Eagles win next season, they're still Eagles fans?
Yeah. I'm an Eagles fan no matter what, right? But okay. When it comes to politics, we should refrain from that sort of mentality. I think that's kind of how we led to the spot that we are now. It would make me happy for the day the Democrats got it back together, where I feel like they got it back together. And what I mean by that is right now, they feel like they're in the process of, it's just anti-Trump. And I'm not a Trumper so much as I just like the fact that he has a mentality to come in and shake it up. That's the defining point for me with him. His speaking points, his decorum, I don't love it.
So you love the change. But I like the disruption.
Correct, the disruption.
What about the people that are being hurt in the process? Because that's the argument.
Yeah.
When this airs, I promise you, my elders are going to call me. They're going to be pissed.
Yeah.
My contemporaries are going to call me. They're going to be pissed. And the youth are going to say I disappointed them just by having you on the show. So I need you to speak to my people and help us understand your thinking.
Well, that's why I love you, because you're willing to have this conversation. And I think the best part of it is the beginning of when we drop back in from the break is you alluded to the fact that me and you have similar values, similar ideology, similar focuses. And I think that's what people should focus on. The fact that the political parties have been so galvanized and Trump and the left and the right have been so galvanized. And in the process, I think people forgot about what really matters is working together on the issues. And I think that's one of the things I can probably blame him for, is kind of turning it into
polarizing.
Where it's almost too polarizing. Right. And it moved away from where it's almost like watching Real Housewives.
I'm glad to hear you say that.
But one thing I will say is that policy-wise, I can stand on that, because the things that are being put in place will be beneficial for all people, and I think specifically for black people. I think one of the things of when we talk about Trump is you got to remember is when you Google it, look up who gave the most funding to HBCUs, right? Or you got to look up his track record in the 90s prior to being – in the political stratosphere of being a Republican, he was a Democrat, right? And he also did work with the Rainbow Coalition and worked with Jesse Jackson. He helped kind of establish the organization in some regards and gave it a platform, gave him opportunities. So these are things I like
to
interject
into the
conversation.
So you're going back to the 80s and the
90s. I'm going back because I think that's the best place to start. I think when you roll into politics, we can both say when election time comes, the things that get spoken about, right, like the transgender issue, how many people are really worried about that? Or the face value issues that become the polarizing parts of it that people get emotionally charged
transgendered
by.
Transgendered people are worried about it and their families.
I hear you. But I think when it comes to the black community, intertwining ourselves with that is not necessarily in our best interest.
You're saying we need to focus on what's important
for
us.
Correct.
Forget everyone else.
Not
necessarily. Prioritize.
Prioritize.
So what are the issues?
And there's no shame in that, because every community
unapologetically
has done that. If you look across the board, and I say it from a business perspective, one way I like to look at it when I categorize, especially when I'm sitting in my office, I see the Asians. The Asians are attached to businesses, right? The Asians, we can go in our head and say, bah, 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 what they own. The Indians,
we know exactly
bah, bah, bah,
bah. We know exactly what they own. Right? We know what majors they're taking in school.
Correct. And I think the black community has been utilized in a specific way. And I think in the process of that, the oppressing session, right? Like, because we have faced these different things. But I think as time goes on, we continuously get attached to groups and we continuously face the same challenges and we're not seeing any headway, right?
Top three priorities in the black community. I love that you're thinking about this, that this is different.
I think the main one is family, right? So fathers being in a household.
Okay.
My trajectory and the negative parts of it, you want to take self-accountability, but if I was to remove myself from the situation to step back and say what would have been different if something would have changed, And the butterfly effect would be my father being home. Yeah, my mother provided me with the kind of nurturing that she could. She kept me in the church. She did all things, but she couldn't teach me about being a man.
That's right.
And that's the biggest thing. So I think the father being in the home is the biggest part.
Okay.
So we get back to politics, and your audience will get mad, right? So what is it that we're out fighting for right now? Benefits, right? I'm okay with that. I'm okay with a social safety net.
So you're okay with Medicaid?
But what I'm not okay with is when benefits mean that, okay, you're a single mother and you're getting a little bit of benefits and I'm your husband or I'm your man, can I be in the household while you collect these benefits? Usually not, right? My income is going to put us over. And when I look at politics and I look at finances and I look at the black spectrum, I see a lot more detrimental things. And I say that, and people get mad, right? And your audience will get mad. But then when you stand back and look at the proofs in the pudding, right, the result that we're getting lets me know that I have to be on the right track.
You feel like it's not working.
Yeah.
The stats are telling you that.
I feel like the stats are telling me that.
So fathers being in the household, benefits is part of fathers being in the household. That wasn't the second one, right?
Yeah. Accountability would be the second one.
Accountability is the second one.
Right, that's where we got to speak to the men, and the leaders within the community.
Okay.
The first part is only possible is if the second part is actually coming into play. So accountability is...
So we have to hold ourselves accountable.
Got to hold ourselves accountable.
Our leadership accountable.
Yeah, despite the circumstances.
Despite the circumstances.
That's my
message. So you don't care where you start on the race, you still got to get to the finish line is what you're saying.
Yeah, and the reason I say that is because for every example we can look at it, an example of somebody who didn't make it because of their circumstances, there's a counter example where somebody who was in even a more grave situation, like you, for instance, right? Your trajectory to be here sitting on an NPR radio station, right? Living the life that you want to live where you started.
That does a disservice though, right? Because you and I are the exception. That's the reality. Everybody can't make it through. I mean, I've lost thousands of friends. I mean, I just buried my oldest son 2 weeks ago. Raheem Allah. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
So everybody's not going to make it. And to say, well, the fact that I made it, anyone else cannot. I don't buy that, man.
Yeah. No, I hear you. And I think there's two sides of it. And I think having both sides gives you a happy median. However, I can say, especially working with the youth, I've seen the challenges that you get when that's only the message, right? When the message is only, okay, your circumstances are grave, or, oh, you come from this circumstance.
I'm with you. You have to make it.
Oh, this is trajectory. Even cumulatively zooming out, like looking at it from just the impression of what we've been through over the course of time as black people. I think when you only promote that message, then you get back into that pigeonhole mode where you get that hopelessness, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And you get that
but
generation.
What about when you don't focus on the structural issues that need to change?
Well, then you're correct. And I think that's a big part of it. I think that's what we need to do.
Okay.
But where me and you probably defer on it is I think that that's something that we kind of have to work in internally. I think the government has turned time and time again when they get involved and intervene in a major way, right? Like, you always want to have that support.
They
that's
get it wrong.
Pay tax for. They get it wrong. And it's hard for me to think of many examples where they got it right, right? Mm-hmm. Like, who wants to live in the projects? Or if it comes to sending postage, are you using FedEx? Like, what do you trust, FedEx or you trust UPS? Or do you trust the United States Postal Service? There's not many things that I can think that they do better than the private sector. So my message is tough, right?
Because
my message involves in the short term probably some trials and tribulations.
Okay.
But cumulatively.
So the third one,
third
priority in the black community.
Third one is ownership. Ownership.
Say more about that.
Home ownership is one of them. That's one of the number one ways
to generate wealth. So
lack of ownership
is the problem.
Yeah. And I think it's another.
And there are structural issues that contribute to that, right?
Correct.
Mm-hmm.
And this is another one that kind of takes me down the path where maybe your audience probably would disagree with me. And
because you keep saying my audience.
I'm trying to be mindful of that, right? Like, because my takes and some of my views could feel sharp or could feel, like I said, not non-traditional in many ways.
Mm-hmm.
But the trajectory, right, of our community, I base it off of people who have similar circumstances. And what I mean by that is, you know what I see? I see an explosion of people within the Lehigh Valley and the Hispanic community that are opening businesses.
That's right.
And establishing wealth for their family and moving forward. And I see that from people who haven't been here that long, right, or who are coming from third world countries. So that's what I set up kind of my mindset moving forward. And you're right. Like I said, there's a happy medium where you want to definitely make sure that you are being mindful that there's going to be some people that need to get pulled up. But I want to see us kind of steal the recipes from some of these other groups.
If they can do it,
if they can do it, people can do it. Yeah, and specifically the Hispanic community is one that I think about when it compares into apples to apples.
Now, you're going to ruffle some feathers. Scenario. That statement right there, I'm going to get calls from my friends within the Hispanic community. Hispanic leaders are going to call me and say that you just said something horrific, bro.
Yeah. It's possible. It's possible.
It's I assure you it's going to happen.
As the same way I believe in radical accountability, I could definitely maybe have some self-reflection and think that some of my opinions within my community of people that kinfolk would think that it would be somewhat radical. But I think it is a message that if you stay focused on and if you put in the work, you'll see the results. One thing I do know is that you feel bad for yourself and you give up, you're not going to get to where you want to get. But if you have some vitriol and you have motivation and you can continue to hold yourself accountable to sites and circumstances, a lot of times you will get the results that you want.
Just keep pushing.
Yeah.
Keep swinging.
I wish you added a fourth one there because I think community.
Give me the fourth one. Give
I think that's one that we don't do well. Someone like you, I love to sit and have a chat with you, so it's something that maybe you could work into your spiel, and I'm sure you do, but I just don't think that the brothers work together like they should. And that's disheartening to me. Every other community, I see it time and time again. The Hispanic community, I'm going to keep bringing them up because they're ones that really heavy in my mind. And being where I'm at, I get to work with a lot of people close. Like, my relationship with them become really deep when they have their check-in savings, their kids' accounts.
That's
so
right.
We get in-depth. And their structure is...
I mean, you could have said the Jewish community, the Asian community, everyone.
Yeah.
Right? Like, everyone's
all of them,
working
but they
together.
Have this mentality where they'll have, like, a house, right, where one person lives, and they'll bring in individuals.
That's
and
right.
they'll hustle.
That's right.
And they'll grind. And it's not the best lifestyle, right? You might have to live like that 2 or 3 years not having a car. But they build a warehouse to pump out individuals who go out there then and have successful
collective
lives.
Success.
Collective success. Yeah, and I want to see us do that.
Cooperative economics. Kucha Chakalia. That's what it's about.
Hakuna Matata. <This guy. laughs>
All right. So let's soften this a little bit, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because these are difficult conversations or courageous conversations, however you want to have it. But you find balance, right? You're in love, you work hard, your family. Like, let's talk about how do you find that balance? How do you sustain all of this? They call these wicked problems, like they have no solutions. How do you thrive through all of this?
It's a lot. I've been through it all, man. And I can say that I always feel good at speaking on the behalf of the good side of everything because I've been on the bad side of everything. Like, I've made all the mistakes, right? I sit and talk to clients about credit, but I've been a person that's been in a spot where I had a 460, right, and I was going to apply for things and I was getting predatory loan rates because I couldn't make it or being even with my relationship, right, with women, being a young black man and all of the trials and tribulations you face with that, right, and the world, the things that pull you, right? You feel like you got to be a player. You got to be – when you start to get that little bit of money, you start to get a little success, you feel like you should be able to multiply fruitfully.
Yeah.
And when in reality, really, the strongest thing you could do is find a strong woman that backs you. And that's one of the things I can say that I have is a beautiful thing. And even with some of my politics, she's actually fairly liberal, which most people probably wouldn't believe.
And she lives with you.
Correct, yeah. Which is great, though, because it balances me. Because, like, even when I'm having conversation with you, it's like I know my focus is very sharp sometimes, and it's almost like that drill instructor mentality. But you also need to have
balance.
Somebody. Yeah, you got to have balance.
Counterpoints
somebody to come with an approach, and it's equally important. So my system and my group around me, I love it because they keep me grounded consistently.
Wow.
That if I'm gonna say one of my vices, that would be what I would say is when I feel very strongly about something, especially if it's like numbers or if there's proof for it, I could live in an echo chamber of my own thoughts occasionally. But having that group around you and that circle around you to pull you, to let you know, to be kind of aware, intuitive enough to other things around you that it's not always what it can appear at face value is super important.
So you're still open to learning.
Still open to
learning. The impact, the empathy, things like that.
Yeah. One of the first things I would say for any brother who wants to scale up their life, right, and they have goals, is to find a strong woman. It's super valuable.
Listen.
It's the most valuable.
None of us would be here if it wasn't for a strong mother and a strong woman.
I wouldn't be alive. Yeah, I wouldn't be alive.
Wouldn't be alive. I'm with you on
that. I believe that.
John, it was a pleasure to have you on the show. We're going to have you back.
Yes.
Look forward to spending more time together. You know, you have some political ambitions. Do you know what offices you're going to run for?
Not quite yet. I'm still in the process now of kind of garnering the support. And as we know, political campaigns cost money. So I'm
in the
shaking hands and kissing baby phase now. But I'll definitely have some announcements within the next couple
months.
Okay.
So. Where do people find you?
My socials, I'm on Instagram, Facebook. It's just my name, John McQuay. I'm on Instagram. I'm JohnnyMac1776. I also have a podcast myself that I'm working on scaling right now. That is the Not Everything's Black and White. I would say it's political commentary, but we're kind of working in some other stuff too. Kind of trying to get like Hassan here. So we're still in the infancy stages of that. But you can check me out there too.
My man.
All right.
Looking forward to it. Thank you for joining us. This is Let's Talk. You're listening to Das Habat, John McQuay. And I think the message here is save your money now. Your money will save you later. And that we most come together as a people.